I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Max Ron Sheridan Departed for the Night. We'd like to get Ron out of here by 8 o'clock, given his age and everything. Just makes life easier. This has kind of got an interesting buzz to it this week because we didn't anticipate it. And when you throw in the fact that it's going to be a double whammy at Allianz this weekend, I think it creates even more attention and excitement, even though it will test and challenge the Minnesota United as they try to convert that field from the football that they play on it on Saturday into a soccer-friendly surface on Sunday for their first playoff appearance. That, to me, kind of creates its own energy and its own storyline. Joining us, Dr. Bill McGuire, of course, he's principal owner of the Minnesota United. We've had him on before. We talk about a lot of different things with him. We kind of stretch it and move it around a little bit, and it's always fun. Dr. McGuire, thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
Do you feel that? I mean, there's something cool about the first time you make the playoffs in the postseason. It takes a while in the MLS to get to the postseason after the regular season, but do you feel a little buzz that's kind of a second wind of this season?
Oh, I think everybody's extraordinarily excited, and you know, to get there, get it done, to you know, be one of the only maybe three or four teams that was in the playoff picture all year long. Really, we were up, staying up near the top, and the most of the season, certainly the entire second half. So, it's been good. I think people are excited.
What did you learn about the MLS this year with the new field, the new facility, now that you guys hadn't been in business for a while, but it kind of felt like a first season for different reasons, mainly because of your new stadium. What did you learn about this as you watched this marathon play out and playing and positioning yourselves to get to the playoffs?
Well, it obviously was different playing at Allianz Field, you know, on grass and with the environment and how the fans and all became integrated in with the team and the extraordinary experience that was there every time the team played, regardless of who showed up. And I think a lot of that energy carried over onto the field and how the guys responded on many occasions. You know, there were some ups and there were a lot of ups, and there were some really big ups, and then there were a couple downers that we didn't quite do everything that we could have done, but just a good deal. Everybody involved, obviously lots of people working every event and people in the office. Very different, very different.
One of the things that I learned this year over the last couple of years, which is different and unique about the MLS versus other leagues that we cover in town, is that you got this great big governing body that sits above it, a big umbrella, if you will, called FIFA. And FIFA runs the whole world of soccer, in essence, and they tell you when you're going to play, when they're going to take players to go back to their countries, et cetera, and play. I don't know. I'm sure you're well-versed on it now. To me, it's taken a while to kind of figure this out and sift it out. Are you really familiar with all the rules now, or is it an easy thing to follow?
Well, I think we know the basic rules. Obviously, these things change, and they're called what you're referring to mostly are these international windows, where players get called back to their respective countries to play on their national teams if they are national team players. And, you know, it empties the roster a bit. And on some occasions, like this week, MLS isn't playing, and we've had players off in some of their international competition. But a lot of other games, you know, we'd have a handful of starters wouldn't be here.
Right.
For it. And, you know, nobody likes it. It's a difficult thing to work around, though. You know, it's such a global sport, such an international sport, so many things going on everywhere. And then you add the travel and all of that. It creates a hardship.
It does, and I don't like to see that because I like to see the champion decided by, you know, people having access to the same pool of players all year, so to speak, and you can get punished for having good players.
Absolutely. You know, now to be fair, most teams end up losing a few players. It seems to me we always seem to have lost more, but to this. But no, it's not a it's not the easiest thing to deal with, and it does distort things a lot. It also, you know, it changes how you practice when you've got 3 games in 8 days, for instance. It alters the approach to the lineups and a lot of stuff for the coaches to think through.
Good problems, because it means you're in the postseason, obviously, but still things that you have to deal with as you go through it. Now, you're going to play a football game there on Saturday, then a soccer game on Sunday. Not exactly ideal, and I'm sure when you cut the deal to do the football game, you thought, what are the odds that we'd actually have not just make the playoffs, but have a home playoff game on that weekend? Well, guess what? Here we are, right?
Well, it was a little more complicated than that. Actually, I don't think we ever thought we couldn't get to the playoffs. What was really going on is after we decided to do that deal with St. Thomas and St. John's, and obviously it's a historic game for them here in the Twin Cities. It's the 89th meeting, I think, and, you know, arguably maybe the last one for St. Thomas in this league. So it's a big, big game. But when we did it, the league schedule was different. You know, we had a different playoff format. It was teams played each other twice. And so when we scheduled it, we would have had the option to have a bye week or move our date around or something. And then several months after it was signed and decided, the league changed its format. So we had a totally different format without the option of really changing and moving things around. And that's really what happened here.
So what will happen once the game concludes? I mean, it seems to me, and this is outside looking in, that soccer folks are maybe even more particular about their turf than baseball and football are, and they're particular about it, but because there's so much running over the whole thing, as opposed to, you know, baseball, there's just paths, and, you know, in football, you can stay away from all those things. In soccer, you can't do that. What has to happen to make this palatable and to make it a success so that on Sunday night, you feel like it's not a factor?
I don't think it's going to be a factor. You know, we actually, as you're probably aware, just put new turf down, new grass down a couple of weeks ago. It looks great. It's growing in. The field this year was problematic. There were some technical things that we uncovered middle of the season and related to drainage, and that impacted the grass. So we decided to just take it out, and there's a whole new field in there, and I think it'll be a lot stronger. What we're going to play on is better than what we were playing on through a lot of the year. So, you know, the turnover will be get the goalposts down, clean up the lines, and probably mow the field down a little bit.
Yeah, make sure there's no divots, right?
Right, and smooth it out, and I think it'll be good.
Well, I think in many ways, I mean, that's the only downside to this weekend, because it's going to call attention to one spot for 2 straight days and 2 big events, and the media is going to talk about it, and there's going to be all kinds of people over there mulling around in Midway for 2 straight days, probably somewhat, crowds somewhat independent of each other, but I can't think of a better way and more effective way that you could call attention to Allianz.
No, absolutely. And, you know, in two great sports, two great set of competitors. It's going to be a great weekend. People are just can't wait.
Do the gates mean a lot to your profit margin, playoff gates, or does that just get swallowed up by the league?
We get a little. Obviously, it's better to be in the playoffs and have a home game than not be in the playoffs. We'll do it that way. But it's not. You don't get everything. Obviously, you have to. There's a lot of extra expenses associated with playoff games. And as you know, this is going to be the primetime national TV game on Sunday night, ESPN.
Yep.
And so it'll be a lot of attention. I think it'll be a lot of people. Tickets are just flew out the door. And hopefully we'll have a great atmosphere to chase LA Galaxy away.
When is the TV contract a big part of the MLS? You know, obviously the NFL basically sustains the entire league. How much does television matter to you in terms of revenue streams?
Right now, not a lot. Mm-hmm. The TV contracts are you know, dramatically different, obviously, with the NFL and its the length of time it's been in existence, and the just the magnitude of the sport and over the years, very large contracts, and MLS is small but going up, and right now it's a little bit of a contribution, but it's not the not a major thing that's going to swing anything.
So when you put a team together in the MLS and you take, just give me the business application part of this, what is it you need to do really, really well to financially have a successful franchise?
Well, I guess you start with the definition of financially successful.
Yeah. Let's just say in the black early.
You know, to get it takes years. It's going to it takes years. You have to have a, you know, you have to have a facility that people want to be part of. So you do attract people to games. You have to have a lot of fans that are passionate. That helps promote, get sponsors interested. So you need sponsorship revenue. You need ticket revenue. You need some concession revenues. And then you have to turn around and put a good product on the field. And we all know in the end, that's probably the single most important thing. What's the quality of the team out there? And if you can do that for a few years and then have some of the other aspects like the media and stuff come along after a period of time, then I think, you know, it can be reasonable.
You, and when you look at the NBA, and obviously right now they're going through some issues with China, but they have figured out how to internationally get all that money. Is that more difficult to do in soccer because every part of the world plays soccer as opposed to pumping something over there?
You know, infinitely difficult, more difficult. And obviously, you know, the NBA has got this huge, for instance, TV contract that came on, I guess, last year and is – precipitated a lot of things itself in terms of compensation for athletes and these kind of things. But, you know, you go over to England and look at the Premier League and look at their TV contract. It's multiples above the NBA contract.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's huge. And but every place in the world is playing soccer.
Yeah.
And so,
it gets
not
diluted.
You know, we actually have a lot of people in Europe now starting to watch MLS soccer. And
because why would they choose that when they have so much?
Because they love the sport. The sport and the teams are a little bit different in every country. You know, the relationship, the competition, the experience, all are, you know, there's some variances. They may be interested because there's players from their home country here that they want to follow. A lot of reasons, but you know, starts with loving soccer. That's the starting point.
Yep. Well, Dr. McGuire, we appreciate it very much, and I'll see you at the pitch on Sunday night.
Well, we will be there, and maybe we'll see you Saturday too, but it's going to be a great one, and we look forward to it. And, you know, it's been a great season, Mike,
yeah.
And as we go forward, really appreciate your support and, of course, all the fans that have put this thing on the map.
Yeah, lots of fun. It's fun when it comes to an apex like this, too. Thank you, Dr. McGuire.
Thanks, Mike.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
You know, I'll explain this on the other side, but when I first started in this business, when I think about how we covered sports and approach covering sports, because all we're trying to do is reflect what the masses want, right? That's all we want to do is reflect what it is people want to see. If we give them what they want to see on radio and television, then we win. But we have to give them what they want to see and hear, and that's the whole game you play, is trying to figure out how much soccer they want versus how much Vikings they've given, et cetera. When I started compared to now, I'll explain. I'll compare and contrast why this has become the best sports market, maybe in the country. Stay with us. Welcome back to Sports with Max. So when I first started in this market, the intern channel, 4 many years ago, there was no NBA. That's right, for those of you that have grown up in the last 30 years, there was no NBA. It was a pipe dream at the time that we began to see manifest and unfold. You know, when Marvin Hart finally got involved, it was a great gift they gave Minnesota. There was no WNBA. That was years to come. There was no MLS soccer. Hockey even took a break for a while here, left here for a while before we had the NHL back. The St. Paul Saints were not in play yet. And that was it. But I'll tell you what, this has now become, in my estimation, if you follow me on this, the best sports market in the United States, and here's why. In the midst of a state that has all four professional sports, football, baseball, basketball, and hockey, all four major professional sports, we will take time out this weekend to pack a 20,000-seat stadium to watch a Division III football game, St. Thomas and St. John's. That rivalry is so unique, so different, like nothing else to compare it to at that level in the entire country. And then Sunday night, we'll pay attention to a soccer game, and they'll sell out the stadium again for a soccer game. All the while, the Vikings are selling out. The Twins just had their sellout for the playoffs. The Minnesota Wild are selling out, even though they're not winning, against Pittsburgh at least the other night. The Timberwolves are going to struggle to sell tickets. But all the while we're doing that, we've got an MIAC rivalry and soccer. On top of that, I just saw the ratings from our high school show and television. Unbelievable how many people will watch us do high school sports. Channel 11 does it too on Friday nights to see the football highlights. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people are tuned in to watch the high school highlights, plus all the people that went to the games. So we come down to the high school level. We go up all the way to the pro level, and everybody wants in. The other thing about when you have teams and they're here for a length of time, you do two things to the marketplace that are critical. You develop more interest in the game at lower levels, so more kids play high school soccer, high school football, all the sports that we offer, that more high school kids play them. Because why? Because they see it. Because they get a vision for it. Because they have role models for it. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to have high participation numbers. Every study you'll ever see will tell you that more kids that play sports end up doing better in life. And so the more opportunities that we can give them, the more avenues, the more channels, the more role models that we give them, the better chance it is that they'll engage in healthy competition, be stimulated by the right things, be motivated by the right things, and want to play. And we do that in this marketplace. Then you throw in, you know, Division I college, obviously, and the Gophers, you know, they had a lot of empty seats the other night. I think they'll probably start selling out here pretty soon. And then you throw in the other ancillaries. The volleyball team sells out 5,000, whatever it is, at Joel Matruid Pavilion there. And they can sell that thing out. All that just sitting in our doorstep. It's just all right there. And I say that because so many times we don't realize how lucky we are. We got it all. We got the smorgasbord. Here, you want a little of this? Give me some shrimp. Give me a little filet mignon there, and I'll have a hamburger over here and a barbecue sandwich there and some coleslaw. You can put it all on one plate. It's all different.
You know who else is selling out? Is the women's professional hockey team now, the Whitecaps.
At the tree rink?
At the tree rink.
I don't think they're selling out.
Well, they did this first game because they were hanging their banner.
Well, see how many they got on Sunday, because I looked at our highlights last night. It did look like there was more than 300 people there.
I take that back then.
But take a look. I mean, see if there's a number on that. But the point is, again, there you go. Another team, another something to aspire to, all that stuff. Sitting right there on our doorstep. We are so lucky. Then on top of that, here's the other part that's really made sports bigger than since I started. And since it's that all the games are on TV pretty much. And that makes a difference. You know, when I grew up in a bygone era, and many of you that are listening from a similar era, and we were the beneficiaries of it, CCO Radio. Gopher football was hard to come by in terms of seeing it on a Saturday afternoon, in terms of seeing the game. It was WCCO and Ray Christensen and Paul Flatley, and you'd be out pheasant hunting or duck hunting. You have the radio on listening to the Gophers, etc. And they might be on, you know, twice a year, a game or two a year they might have televised. The Twins had like 25 games a year on out of 162. The Vikings, if they didn't sell out, it was a blackout, and you couldn't see it. And they sold out most of the time at Met Stadium. Hockey, just a smattering. And then somehow they figured out this cable industry, said, but we don't need to just sell commercials. If we can provide our consumer with all the games, then we can charge them a monthly fee, in essence, for our product, and we'll make our money, and it'll be a good deal for them, too. And it is. And so that is just mushroom sports to a level that you never thought you could see it this big. Throw in some social media, throw in, you know, talk sports, all that stuff. In Minnesota and Minneapolis and this area has never been better or healthier or more vibrant when it comes to sports, period. And I only say that to you because I want you to realize how lucky we are and how good it is that we have it and that we can complain about sports and all those things. Up next, shame on all you people that think you're so smart that you can be critical of Kirk Cousins and Vikings coaches and everybody else. I'll explain next. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Detroit Lions lead the Green Bay Packers. 13-10, almost going to half. Good stuff there. Vikings play Detroit this week. Here's my point about be careful about being critical. Number one, you have no idea how someone will perform the next week. And for those of you that said Kirk Cousins this, Kirk Cousins that, you had no idea if he'd play well again, and he did. The last 2 weeks, he played really well. But number two, I get accused sometimes from people of being a homer that way, and I'm okay with that, and here's why. The reason I'm okay with that is the one thing that I've learned in this business all these years is people that work in these industries – particularly those that have experience on the teams, they deserve respect because most of them that get to this level, they've worked really, really hard their whole life. And they're really good at it. And they don't, offensive coordinators don't sit in their office and say, well, they're going to drop some plays that I don't think will work on Sunday. Everything they do has a purpose. Everything that they do, if they laid it out for you before the game, you'd say, well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, we're going to do this. We're going to run to this side because this we think this about this person, and our scouting report tells us that. Everything they do has this great purpose. They don't walk into the office and just eat cake and ice cream all day. They get in there 5 or 6 in the morning, whatever it is, and they stay until 8 or 10 at night to get a game plan together. And they do that, and they become very good at it and very proficient at it. And who am I to say you don't know what you're doing? The only time that I will is if somebody gives me credible information from within the organization. Somebody says, hey, it's a credible person that maybe plays the game as well or is a coach or something like that. And they say, this is the problem that we've got going on out here. But then I'm reporting. I'm not giving an opinion. I'm just giving you information that I hear. You know, I told you all about what really happened with that Diggs thing last week. I didn't hear that anywhere else. And it was right on the mark. That's different. You know, that means there's a crack in the kink in the armor, as I said, but maybe they've got it straightened out now. But I look at it a little bit like last week when we were talking about the different candidates for political office. And I said, as much as I despise downtown Minneapolis a lot of days, and I believe that they've failed in their effort to, with the Nicollet Mall, to clean things up, to make it better, do all those things, there's a part of me that says, well, if you don't like it, Big Mouth, then you can go run for office against Jacob Fry. Or you can go try to run for the city council, and you can move to Minneapolis. If you want to run your mouth on that radio show on CCO, well, then go do something about it. Don't just sit and talk it. Anybody can talk it. If you want to fix it, go fix it. Or finance a campaign that will bring you what you want, whatever it is. In this country, you get a voice. You get to do what you want to do. And that always kind of holds me back a little bit. Because I've never respected second-guessers a lot that don't do their homework or have their facts. Now I do think, like, for downtown Minneapolis, I don't know the reasons that when you walk through downtown Minneapolis, you can get high as a kite just by smelling the smoke. But I don't think that's good. I don't think it's good last week when I'm walking downtown Minneapolis and the Twins are playing and a guy's taking a leak on the wall over at the Dayton Project on 7th and Nicollet in broad daylight. I don't think that's good. I don't think it's good to be panhandled everywhere that you go. I don't think that's good. I don't think it's good that our Minneapolis, our city, is getting such a bad reputation. And it doesn't feel like it's cleaned up, and you do feel a bit embarrassed by it, and it's scary out there. And so then I always assess, well, what can I do to make a difference, to make it better, to make it healthier? And I think at minimum I can call attention to it, but always based on facts. Not just based on I don't like it. Just like Kirk Cousins, he doesn't know what he's doing, blah, blah. You don't know what the game plan was in Chicago. You don't know if it was his fault. You don't know if he was simply doing what they asked him to do and the offensive line didn't do their job, but he can't afford to get in the press conference and call somebody on the offensive line or call Dalvin Cook for not being able to pick up linebackers. You don't know that. I don't know that. Unless I know that, unless somebody inside the Vikings tells me that, then, hey, it's their deal. It always bugs me when I see people that, well, Twins didn't get a the problem is they pulled their pitcher too soon. Well, you don't know that. Maybe the pitcher had a sore arm. You don't know it. And I probably fail as a talk show host that way because I think in some respects, sports talk show hosts are supposed to be that person. That, you know, that guy that was, a student manager growing up and never really played on a team. And he finally got power and he said, oh, Kirk Cousins sucks. I don't want to be that guy. I don't care if it costs the audience. It might be more popular viewpoint, you know. Just to go in there and say, well, Mike Zimmer doesn't know what he's doing after they lose. Maybe that would get you more votes, so to speak. But I don't think as a human being you can do that. I think you need to give people more respect than that. You know, there's a reason that coaches do what they do, and they make mistakes. And not all, you know, depending on who it is, they all make mistakes. But I don't think they make mistakes because they're dumb. I think they make mistakes because, you know, they trusted somebody could do this and they couldn't, or they underestimated the opponent, things like that. But I don't think they make mistakes because they go in and they go, you know, it'd really be stupid for us to run the football to the right this week, so we're going to run the football to the right this week. I don't think they do that. I think they spend an inordinate amount of time trying to get it right. And when I look at, and I think about this during the football season a lot, particularly the football coaches, when I look at how hard they work to get a game plan constructed for Sunday. And I'm talking any level now, high school on up. You have no idea how many hours they put into it. You have no idea the technology that they use, the scouts, all the things that they do their due diligence with. You have no idea how much time they put into it. And I think it's disrespectful to say, well, you don't know what you blah, 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 blah. Until I've walked in, you know, if I want to go coach, then maybe if I don't like it, then maybe I should go coach, right? Maybe I should apply for the job. If I don't like what Kirk Cousins can do, maybe I should go try out for the team if it's that easy. And I understand some of you are saying, oh, that's just a cop out. You just need to be good friends with those guys so you can get interviews with them and stuff. I understand some people are saying that, right? But I don't care because you got to live your life one way or the other, right? And either you give people respect or you don't. And people that work hard and put themselves in the arena, I need to respect them. Even sometimes when I don't agree with them, I still need to respect them. You know, all these people that run for office, you know, that I was looking at the presidential debate the other day, and I'm thinking, how stupid are some of you people? You got no chance. You're just wasting somebody else's money to finance your campaign. And then I think, well, at least they're out there doing something, right? At least they're trying to make a difference. At least they're putting themselves in the crosshairs of the public and they're taking the shots and they don't know where that's going next, but they know they're going to have to eat some bullets on this thing if they're going to do it. And I know some of it's driven by ego and power and all those things, and probably for some of them, only they know the answer to this, is driven by money because they know even if they don't make it as a presidential candidate, if they get enough brand name recognition, who knows, they could become a star lobbyist or hired to be a CEO of a company, all that. Who knows what really drives some of the people, but I don't know that. And anybody that's willing to enter the grind, I give them credit, man. That's heavy lifting. That's hard stuff. Especially when I see the vast number of people in this country that don't work hard. That just, you know, they think that they're entitled and that if they do 5 days a week, that's enough. And it doesn't even cross their minds that they could get another job if they need to help finance a college kid education or, you know, for their kids or whatever it is. It doesn't even dawn because they don't think that they should have to do that. And then I look at coaches and I see they don't even see what day it is. It's just one big blur because it's continuous work. And I think of how hard they work. And I think, who am I to spit on that? You know, and I see some of the people that are critical of them. And I think, really? You know, really? I look at what you've accomplished in life and you're criticizing Kirk Cousins or Mike Zimmer. And I know I probably lose listeners because of that, or viewers, or whatever it is. But you got to stand for something. And I think it's okay to respect people that work really, really hard at their craft. I do. I think it's really okay to respect people that work really, really hard. I just a thought, just a theory from on my part. And that's why I found it kind of humorous that all these people that were ripping Kirk Cousins, and you know, they have no idea what the game plan was or what they're asking him to do. They don't know if it was his fault or not. They have no idea. None. But all of a sudden they go quiet, right? Well, you know. They don't have a they can't say, well, Cousins played really well. That'd be too much of a leap, you know what I'm saying? When we come back, Eric Nelson, he'll be doing that St. Thomas St. John's game on Saturday, and he's done a lot of them. How this one will be different, we'll ask him. Welcome back. Eric Nelson in for Henry Lake. Henry will be at halftime of the Vikings game on Sunday. He'll be taking your calls. Post-game action as well. Joe Anderson will do pregame. Corey Hepla at halftime does FaceTime live with people. Can see how what he thinks of the game while he watches at home. So all kinds of Vikings coverage. Eric, you and I were there yesterday. That was a fun game.
It was, Maxie. I think so far, no doubt, the pinnacle moment of the year for the Vikings. They had it all going on. Obviously, offensively, they were explosive. I could not believe how open Stephon Diggs got on those two deep balls.
I couldn't either, because they knew they could get him open. Or they, you know, obviously, I always liked it earlier in the game because you can see what teams studied all week, right? And they knew there was some seam there that was going to be available to them.
Yeah, and the knock on the Eagles going in was, you know, not strong at the corners. I think it was Jones twice that Diggs beat on those home run balls.
Yeah, you got Jenkins and Sindeo in the middle.
Safety help on those plays, at least on the second one. So
there could have been a third one in the first half. He was open, you know.
And then the toe tap at the back of the end zone, that 11-yard laser beam that Cousins threw, that was just NFL poetry there. So offensively, the Vikings looked fantastic, no doubt about it. They fed off the energy of the crowd. Now, I really think going in, they knew that was a big game. The NFC looks hyper-competitive this year, Max. There's
NFC
a lot
North,
of good teams.
I mean, when you look at, not to look too far down the road, but the possibility that December 23rd, they're going to play the Packers, and the 30th, the Bears, both could have meetings. It's too early to tell. Both teams could be, they could, all three could be eliminated. Detroit could be running the table. Who knows? But it just looks like these teams are going to kind of slug it out and probably still have a chance after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and right now I believe the NFC North is the only division with everybody over 500.
Yeah.
So you could have a couple good teams in that division or others in the NFC that don't make the playoffs. Right. I mean, New Orleans right now, Teddy Bridgewater's 4-0 as a starter. He's just supposed to keep the seat warm until Drew Brees comes back.
Yeah.
They have to be elated with what they're seeing, and it's primarily their defense. I think they may have the best defense in the NFL right now.
And the Cowboys are struggling.
Yeah, they're down to 3-3. They lost to the Jets.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. I don't know how it is for you.
Well, and Oakland did the Vikings a big favor by beating the Bears in London. I never saw that coming.
Huge favor. And the Bears play the Saints this week.
Yep.
And I guess the Pope blessed the Saints yesterday. Something weird happened. He put a hashtag up to some Saints that he anointed, and it immediately drove to the New Orleans Saints.
Really?
Yeah, something like that. I know you're a big Instagram guy and all that
Orleans,
social media stuff.
Anything's possible, you know?
It sure is. Who dat?
Who dat?
So, I think the NFC's got a lot of good teams. There's going to be some quality teams that may not make it in the playoffs. The Rams are 3-3, and they won the NFC last year.
Yeah, Tampa can beat anybody on a given day because they're capable of scoring 50. They did to the Rams. They could beat against Carolina. But, I mean, they've got, you know, there's some of those teams that are just kind of, you don't know on a given week.
You don't. And Carolina has this kid, Kyle Allen.
Yep.
I believe he's 4-0. What's going to happen when Cam Newton comes back? Kyle Allen's a lot cheaper than Cam Newton.
So, by the way, did Newton start all this this attire? You know, Carson Wentz is wearing one of these funky hats yesterday as his press conference. Cousins goes with a jean jacket and a shirt and tie. I mean, is that all out of Newton? Are those all variations of what Newton did to the quarterback press conference?
Yeah, I think it did start with Cam because he would come out with some outfits that became
part of the deal
stunning
each week. Yeah,
right. And I didn't see Wentz yesterday. I was in the Viking room where you were. were. But somebody told me about what Carson came out in with this leprechaun outfit, and I thought, okay.
Yeah, I mean, God bless, and I'm not trying to stereotype, it's just, he's from Bismarck. I don't see that often when I've been in Bismarck.
Maxie, he's from Bismarck, but now he's in Philly.
Now he's in Philly, yeah.
He's on the East
Coast. We had Coach Ensign yesterday, North Dakota State coach. Of course, he was the offensive coordinator when Carson was there, and listened to him talk about those days. But they got Billy Turner playing the night out of Moundsview High School, North Dakota State grad starting for the Packers. They got another one starting for the linebacker starting for the Baltimore Ravens. It's unbelievable how good North Dakota State is. They took Northern Iowa apart in a top 10 matchup on Saturday.
When I was in Green Bay for that Viking game week two, we talked to Aaron Jones, and I brought up Billy Turner to him, and he raved about what Billy Turner does, you know, opening holes up for him. And North Dakota State, I'm amazed. This kid, Trey Lance, I know you know of him,
out of Marshall.
What I saw the game at Target Field.
His numbers are eye-popping.
He was just slicing through Butler.
Did you see him at Target Field?
I did, and then I had a chance to interview him. And he says, you know, he exchanged text messages often with Carson Wentz. And now they have this thing going where – and they have another quarterback, I think Easton Stick is with the Chargers, right?
It was the Chargers or the Dolphins drafted him. I can't remember.
I believe L.A. Chargers.
But he stuck?
Stick stuck? Yeah, Stick stuck.
But he was the one. Yeah, he was a great quarterback there as well.
So now you got guys like Trey Lance going there saying, you know what, I can at least get on some sort of a wavelength with a guy like Carson Wentz.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what time do we have to break?
5 seconds. He's on the Chargers, by the way.
Okay. Stick. What do you got coming up?
We are going to have some fun. I know you talked to Bill McGuire, owner of Minnesota United. I will have Manny Lagos on at 9:35. He's the sporting director for MNU, so we'll get into that huge matchup against the LA Galaxy. Gary Fosching joins me at 10:35, the St. John's coach. As you laid it out, it's a huge weekend on the St. Paul Midway at Allianz. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I got a lot of sound yesterday. Alexander Madison, Dan Bailey, Stephen Weatherly, Xavier Rhodes, they'll all join me. And Robert Smith. I caught up with him after the Gophers win.
Oh, cool.
He is high on the Gophers.
Good. That's going to be a good show, and I can't wait to listen. Eric Nelson with all kinds of content coming up next on WCCO.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.